everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show as we work our way into record-breaking heat next week. But we still are kind of normal right now. But by the weekend, we get into that excessive heat warning here. So please take it easy. It is the Buckmaster Show, the middle of June. It's June 15th, 2017. Hope the week has gone pretty well for you so far. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. That means anywhere in the world you're around a computer, put in buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com. Which is your other choice. Any of those will get you to us in our live stream. The Buckmaster Show live line is now officially open for you. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the live line number 790-2040 for your calls and comments. Let's begin now with Pima County Supervisor Democrat from District 5, Supervisor Richard Elias. Supervisor, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill, and it's nice to be back here at 1030 KVOI, and the Buckmaster Show is always fun, even when it's like 110 outside. I can sit there
hey,
and
the
listen
show
to
has
it.
To go
it makes
on.
Me feel
you
good.
Know, yeah, we'll get through it. I know it is. And by the way, Pima County's Office of Emergency Management this afternoon has been emphasizing, Richard, this excessive heat watch. Folks that do are very sensitive and to heat. Need to kind of stay inside here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stay inside. And if you're young people out running around, let me make a suggestion to you and stop in at your local public library and spend a few minutes reading a book or listening to some music or whatever your favorite thing is to do at the library. But they're air conditioned and they're safe spots for you to be able to hang out.
Yeah, that's good advice. You brought with us two fine young people. These are two people will be juniors, one at University High. His name is Quinn Mark, and Aislinn Anaya. She'll be coming up as junior at Amphitheater High School. Two young people who believe in or try to learn about county government through being a summer intern. Aislinn, why did you want to learn about government?
So government controls everything from our education to pretty much after we die. And we need to know everything that goes on, because if we're uneducated, that's when people become ignorant and unaware and don't really know what's going on. And then when we're uneducated about certain things, we tend to fall for media and get persuaded easily, becoming, lack of better words, like a puppet. not mean to be so harsh. And then we don't fight for like what we believe in as much.
Carving out a way for you to think for yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Make your own opinions. Quinn, what about you?
Local government is very impactful in our own basic lives and our day-to-day lives. So understanding how it affects what we do every day, how it moves us forward, understanding essentially the basics of it is really, really important.
Would you say, Quinn, that a lot of your friends have no idea how government works or who their representative is or anything?
Everyone everyone has their talking points about federal issues, but at the end of the day, really, your day-to-day life, how you get to work, how the economy's going, that's really, at the end of the day, local government.
So you guys hope to come away with what, would you say, Aislinn, would you hope your goal would be when you go back to school in a couple of months? What do you hope to learn?
From this experience, I want to learn how county government correlates with city and state, so we as youth can take that and know, so we can be a part of something bigger. We can help change the world, well, like change your county, being broad, but really taking my experiences and putting them forward to our community, because that's something that I really value, is just impacting our community and helping somebody else.
Would you like to, would you think about a political career?
Of course. Yeah. I love politics and cellular molecular biology.
Oh, okay. Good choices. Quinn, how about you? Final comment here. You think you might want to get into politics?
I probably will. I love it all.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for coming in, both of you.
Thank you.
Richard, I think you made a good choice there. Two very, very fine young people who are very engaged. And, hey, it's the next generation.
I'm really proud of both of them. And they work hard. They're on time. They're prepared. And they both read and research things every day just because they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Let's talk about a couple of issues that certainly were very controversial, I guess. The county and the city joined forces to proclaim, first of all, say no to the border wall. And there were the two Republicans, Steve Christie and Allie Miller, said it's just a waste of time. What do you say to Mrs. Miller and Mr. Christie?
It's not a waste of time at all. That's ludicrous. The truth is that these are issues that affect Pima County directly. We have the longest expansive border of any county in the United States. I should also add that in a way, the border wall will do three terrible things. It'll affect businesses deeply. Mexico's our number one trading partner here in Arizona. That's necessary that we continue that business flowing. The damage to the environment and the wildlife that we have here, and the fact that the border wall building will not follow any of the environmental rules that we have on the books right now, is a terrible thing. Also, it divides family, and it's a bad symbol to send out to people. We have a lot of Mexicans and Mexican-American families that have intermingled with everybody who comes here to Southern Arizona. We need to respect those families and let everybody know that Mexico's our neighbor and that they're welcome here as well.
Well, again, getting back to the criticism that, well, Mr. Trump will never see this resolution. But, you know, I was thinking about it. I'll tell you who will see it. The potential Mexican shoppers, they'll hear about it.
Absolutely
so
true.
There is a local value in that.
Absolutely true. We need to let people know that this is what Pima County thinks, and our elected officials who represent us in the halls of Congress who are going to make the decisions about funding that border wall. And I just heard something on the way over here from Quinn, who told me that he read an MIT study that ties the issue of the border wall and climate change together very neatly. That border wall is going to create 67 metric tons or 167 metric tons.
It was 7.8 million metric tons.
And where did you hear this?
It was on MIT Technology Review.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's going to do what?
Just due to the transportation and cement and steel production, it's going to produce an estimated 7.8 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. So the two resolutions on there, the climate change resolution and the
border wall
resolution, are just connected.
Hmm.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Great information.
Good information. He's obviously doing his job already, doing some research there for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, and he has the right to correct us when he knows that he has the right information, and I'm really proud of him. Step up to the plate. Very good.
All right, 790-2040, and of course there are always people who will disagree with the whole border wall concept, with climate change. Ingrid, what is on your mind today for Richard Elias?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. You make it sound, Supervisor, as if people are currently crossing the border wherever they feel like it, willy-nilly, and are not following any kinds of rules, not going through the normal channels, so on and so forth. I personally am not for building a solid wall, but I do want to have a separation that is guarded, and probably best done with the use of drones and so forth. But you make it sound as if people are now crossing any place at any time at their will. Surely that's not what you mean, is it? Aren't they following the rules?
Ingrid, a lot of people follow the rules, and we're most appreciative of that, and I think we need to protect our sovereign borders. That makes total sense. But the truth is also that we have fewer undocumented crossers right now than we have had in the past 25 years. So the situation has improved with the improvements along security along the border that we have in place. The idea of a wall only adds to the tension and dislike and the disparities between people and their different cultures. The reality is that border walls don't really work. And so spending trillions of dollars on this wall is really an absurd notion, when in fact, most people do cross the border legally at the legal ports of entry. And those folks who cross undocumented, there's even fewer of them than there has been in recent times.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Alice would like to speak to us before we take our first break. Go ahead, Alice.
Yes, I'm Alice, and I'm calling from Douglas, Arizona. I was born and raised here in Douglas, Arizona, United States citizen of Mexican ancestry. And I disagree with Mr. Richard Elias. I disagree with the students he's carrying. We do have illegal aliens still coming through the borders. We also do not have the border, as Mr. Richard Elias says. The border is broken, and billions of dollars have already been spent. And also people need to know that catch and release is still on, they're still working on, it's still happening, catch and release. And also people need to know this. I would say, sir, for you to write United States codes, USC 18/1015, USC 81324, and USC 81325. And also for that young man who talked about climate change, let me tell you what we Christians, we believe. Genesis 8:22. Okay. Well, earth remains, seed time, harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Okay.
So we need to open our eyes on what is truth.
All right,
now. Illegals are coming through. It was not a Russian hack. It was illegal aliens that registered to vote, that have been registering to vote for many years, okay? And they are. We had over 33 million illegal aliens who voted in this election to overthrow President Donald Trump and tell Mr. Elias that Aslan will be exposed.
All right, Alice, you had your say, and that's what this is about, talk radio. Anything you want to say to Alice other than the fact that isn't it nice you can exercise your First Amendment?
Well, I encourage people to speak their minds, and I'm glad Alice called in and did that. But the fact is that things along the border have improved dramatically. They continue to improve. And we look forward to better trade relations with our partners in Mexico. And we look forward to making sure that our families continue to grow healthy. And I have no problem with Christian values. I think that's all important to us, too. But also the reality of life along the border has been one of a shared economic growth. And I think that's what we really need to focus on.
All right. We will be back. But first, I want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, it's going to be very hot here over the weekend. But I'll tell you, we're at about 2,500 foot elevation here in Tucson. Silver City in Grant County is at about 6,000 feet. You're going to get a very pleasant environment over there. 3-hour drive. Great activities over in Silver City, doing some antiquing in downtown Silver City, some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their website. The full listing of the great places to recreate and the many great places to stay. We'll be right back.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll speak with Tucson City Manager Mike Ortega. Plus, Friday Roundtable features Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, and always on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 1222. Green Things is my favorite go-to nursery. Anything you need green, and who doesn't this time of year, right? All the plants they've got on 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com. Go there. They've got a drip irrigation workshop. I think I've got this right. That is tomorrow afternoon at 1, and then they have a succulent plant workshop Saturday morning at 10. I think that's right. Go to GreenThingsAZ.com. We've got a full board lit up of people who want to talk with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias. Lauren is up first. Lauren, how are you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bill. I'm glad you could get down to the South Pacific. I visited that during the Navy in different circumstances, but I'm glad you had your trip. Anyway, quickly, if the situation at the border is truly better, personally, I'd like to hear it from the ranchers that own vast tracts of land down there.
Okay. Richard, have you heard anything about what the ranchers, have they told you anything?
I understand your perspective, Lauren, and they're an important part of this, but they're only one perspective, and I didn't see that things were great along the border. What I said was that immigration problems have improved dramatically from where they were 5 years ago.
All right. Back to the live line, 790-2040. Carolyn, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. This is also along the lines with the... We already have a partial border wall, a fence, and it's not effective as long as it's only partial. And it's good to hear someone say that things, apprehensions are down, but I'm going to credit that to the change of administration and a more of a get tough policy, and that's maybe deterring some of the illegal activity. And I'm really pleased to hear that the rule of law is being upheld a little better. And they can have a barrier of some sort to keep vehicles from driving in to the desert and all of the trash that's left by the people walking through, the illegal entry people. I understand it's about 7 pounds a person is left in the desert.
Wow.
Can you comment on that?
Okay, thank you, Carolyn. Richard, perhaps there are multiple reasons, I'm sure, for the reason that border crossings are down. Yeah. It's the economy.
It's mostly economic reasons that have caused that. And most of those improvements were made under the presidency of Barack Obama. So really, we haven't had enough time to even start to gauge what Trump's issues have done to the borderlands here in Arizona.
The trash is a huge issue.
Trash and pollution is a huge issue. And that's why we really need to discourage people from being border crossers that cross through the desert undocumented. It is a problem. It is a danger. We do not encourage anybody to do that.
Especially this time of year.
Absolutely. You risk your
so
life.
So dangerous.
And frankly, the number of deaths that have gone down substantially, thank God, have given us some relief at our office of forensic science. In fact, our interns were just over there at the forensic science office yesterday getting a tour of that particular facility as well.
All right. We've got a couple more minutes here with Richard Elias. Chuck is up to the plate next. Chuck, how are you?
Just fine. Supervisor Elias, I know you've mentioned time and time again that the illegal traffic crossing the border is way down. Well, until it's totally stopped, I want that wall built. I don't know about you, sir, but I have a wall around my house. Do you have one?
Yes, I do, but that's not the same thing at all. In fact, that's kind of comparing apples to oranges, you know?
No, sir, it's not because it makes
it is.
Feel more secure. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chuck, for weighing in, and we encourage everybody to call in. You know, whatever your opinion is, 790-2040, we will certainly put you on the air and entertain your question. All right. That's fine. We went the direction of the border wall. I didn't get a chance to get into some of the budget items. The sheriff has got some issues with overtime. Were these inherited, a lot of these issues?
Issues are inherited. And I know Sheriff Napier has been working on that, trying to fix some of the improprieties that they had going over there that caused an excessive amount of overtime. But we're still about $4 million over budget at this particular juncture today. So we're going to continue working on that, and Sheriff Napier has his hands full, I know, over there, and I wish him the best.
We'll get him back on the air here very soon. He can give us an update. What about pavement preservation, in effect, fixing a lot of the potholes?
Well, you know, the truth is that the cavalry isn't coming. there's nobody coming to fix our roads. Typically, we have support from state government and gas tax. We've had support from the feds to be able to do some of that work, too. That's all gone. The reality is that it's going to have to be local dollars to fix these roads. And that's unfortunate. But we have to get busy and fix those roads so that we maintain public safety. And we also help our businesses to be able to thrive.
The budget will be adopted next meeting?
Or we have our final budget approval on Tuesday,
okay.
upcoming on Tuesday at the board meeting, and then tax levy day is the second Monday in August.
All right, let's bring our your interns back for one more time. Aisland Anaya, who's going to be a junior at Amphitheater High School in the fall. Did you have a good time? Had a good time today on the air?
Yes, this is pretty amazing. It's interesting.
You like the interaction, people calling and
hearing people's ideas and voices.
All right. And Quinn Mark, who will be a junior at University High, right?
That's right.
What do you think of the experience?
It was a blast. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you very much. Good luck to both of you. Richard Elias, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Bill. I'm always glad to come back and hear from the folks who listen to the Buckmaster Show, as well as hearing your questions and responding to them. And it's just a great opportunity for all of us here in Southern Arizona.
Tucson's Town Square, you could call it. Town Hall right here.
Absolutely.
At midday on the Buckmaster Show. 12:30, we'll be talking about cybersecurity, cybercrime. That's next on Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll be having our Friday Focus interview with the city manager, Mike Ortega, will be my guest. Also, we'll have Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. But right now we're going to talk about cybercrime and cybersecurity, how you can protect yourself in the cyber environment. Kathy Winger is with us. Kathy is an attorney based here in Tucson. She's a business, real estate, banking, and data security attorney. She represents companies, banks, credit unions, and individuals in commercial and corporate transactions. She also is a very popular speaker on this topic. She just presented at a major event up in Las Vegas. Kathy, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me here today.
Well, this is an area that affects just about everybody, and I'm just wondering, what are some of the bottom line messages when you present to a conference like the one in Las Vegas? What's the starting point when it comes to cybercrime?
Well, for me, as you mentioned, I'm a business attorney, and so my approach to the whole matter is looking at it from the perspective of a business attorney. And one of the things I do as an attorney is I advise my clients of the risks that they're facing, and my goal is to help them address those risks and protect their business and do well. And so I approach it from that perspective. And the reason that I started talking about it and that I do as much speaking about it as I can is because it's become cybersecurity, data breaches, and liability for those has become a huge issue, and it really affects everyone. It really affects businesses, and businesses are my clients. So I started out with it looking at my clients and what sort of risks they've faced and what I could do to help them address those risks.
And what are some of these risks? And some of them, I assume, Kathy, are relatively new legal risks for companies. So what are some of them?
Well, the risks that they've, and you're absolutely right, they are relatively new legal risks. I started out in the banking industry as an in-house attorney at a bank, and the landscape was much different 20 years ago in terms of cybersecurity, fraud, and exposure. And the risks that that businesses face are costs that they could incur, lawsuits, bad things that happen in the event information that they have, confidential information, private customer information, credit card information, any type of information like that that has been shared with them, once that information is shared with businesses and they have it, that risk exists because if their system is breached, they're responsible for the harm that results from the exposure and the disclosure of that information. And I like to tell a story. When I first got into this area and did a little investigation, I talked to a gentleman who's been in the cybersecurity area for a long, long time. And he said to me, Kathy, there are two types of companies, those that know they've been breached and those that don't know they've been breached. So hearing that really brought it home to me that the risk was out there. And the second thing that I really like to make clear and what I go around and talk to people about is it doesn't matter if you're a small company, a medium company, or a large company, the exposure is still there. I tended to think when I first started looking at it that I wasn't going to worry so much for my clients because they're not Target, they're not Home Depot. Typically, they're small and medium-sized businesses. But what's happening now is the exposure is spreading to them.
And if they're taking a credit card, they've got dangers.
Absolutely. If they're taking a credit card, they've got dangers.
Regardless of what kind of size business you have, if you're taking a credit card, you're taking consumers' information.
Or if you have employees and you're taking, you have their social security number,
yep.
things like that. It's a rare business that doesn't have some exposure in this area.
This whole area is just exploding in the legal profession.
It has. It's exploded, and that really, it really struck me, you know, when I saw what happened after Target and what's happened in the years, that's really what got me sort of on my soapbox and, you know, had me going out and telling, as I said to you earlier, anyone who will listen, that this risk is out there and it needs to be addressed and it needs to be thought about. And there's a whole range of steps that businesses can take to address the risk.
What are some of those steps?
One of the things that I like to talk about is contractual, addressing the risks in contracts, because one of the areas of exposure that is really relatively new, the FTC has come out and said this, and this concerns me as an attorney who represents businesses, is that if you as a business have the information, have protected information, and you share it with a vendor, let's say, for example, somebody who processes your payroll,
uh-huh.
and that vendor has a breach, you can still be held liable
for the
losses.
So they're processing your payroll, which has social security
exactly.
numbers, then they get breached.
Right, but you still are on the hook. The FTC has come out very specifically and said, you as the initial party that received the information, as between you and the consumer or the employee, you're still on the hook. So one of the things I like to recommend that people do is look at their contracts that they have with providers who they're sharing information with, and have language in their contracts that protects them and that places the burden on the provider. The FTC expects, and I advise people to make sure that anyone who you as a business are sharing that information with, make sure they have as good or better security standards than you do. And there's also cyber insurance, which is available.
I wondered about that.
Yes. It's a relatively new product, but it's getting much more widespread and much more affordable. And a lot, what I recommend and what's happening a lot in the contractual world is requiring vendors to certify that they have cyber insurance.
Right. So that gives you some assurance that the people you're going to be dealing with are going to have some protection.
Absolutely.
It's just a domino effect, isn't it?
It is. And it's just gone down. And I sort of compared it to environmental liability back in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
It started out, you know, people were dumping toxic waste and nobody was paying attention. Then CERCLA was enacted.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everybody was responsible and the liability was strict. And it began to trickle down. And on the insurance front, in the environmental area, it started out when people had to pay, you know, companies had to pay a lot of money to clean up toxic waste dumps, that they sought insurance under their CGL carriers. And there was a line of cases that said it was covered. Then the insurance companies started excluding it from CGL, and you had to buy separate coverage for pollution.
CGL being?
Comprehensive general liability.
Okay, we're speaking with Kathy Winger. She is an expert in cybersecurity. And 790-2040, we could probably work in a call if somebody has a question. But one of my questions would be, when you have these giant security breaches like at Target, are there typically then consumer lawsuits that then go after Target? You don't hear about that. What you hear about in the news, yeah, we've had this huge breach. You don't hear about the other stuff.
And I will tell you, yes, there are the lawsuits. And the reason why you don't hear a lot about them is the status of consumers' rights in the lawsuits is uncertain right now. There have been rulings that have gone both ways. And the issue when you have the consumers is an issue of standing. And the standing question is, you as a consumer, have you really suffered a loss? Because, you know, as we all know, for our credit cards, if there's a fraudulent charge, you're not responsible for paying it.
Right.
So a concrete injury is required to have standing for a lawsuit.
You can't just be part of the pool and just
right.
Worry is not going to
worry
get you
is not,
something,
that's exactly
right?
Right.
I'm worried about
right,
it because
right.
I'm part of that pool.
Right.
But that's
and
not going to get
no,
you
that's
something.
Not your concrete injury, compensable injury. No. Now, courts have found that having to spend all the time getting your credit cleaned up, credit
yes.
monitoring, phone calls, all of those things, that they do constitute compensable injuries, and they've ruled in favor of consumers proceeding with the suits. But there's a good number of suits that have been dismissed on the standing issue, and so it's still questionable out there. What I see in that area, and what I think it's most important to remember, is when you look at standing, the sorts of companies that have standing, and I know this from representing banks, are banks and credit unions and issuers of credit cards, because when there's a breach, they have to issue new credit cards.
Yes.
If there are fraudulent losses, they have to be responsible for them. They have concrete injury. And I'll tell you what really sort of made me open my eyes and say, oh my gosh, things are really happening in this area, was when I saw the class actions by the banks and the credit unions against companies like Target and Home Depot, because concrete injury is not an issue for them.
That's
and
the heavy hitters.
That's the heavy
getting
hitters,
together,
right.
And, yeah, pooling resources and going after the, yeah.
Absolutely. And having been an in-house attorney at a bank years ago, when we didn't have anyone to go after, if we had been able to sue someone to recoup our cost, we would have done it. But the liability and the exposure and the huge data breaches weren't there. So that really was what opened my eyes. And then the other thing, and where I saw on the small and medium-sized business exposure, is a situation where you have someone has cyber insurance and the insurance company pays the claim. The insurance company then goes against the party responsible for the breach. So there was a case of a small web design company who designed a website for a bank. There was a breach. The bank had coverage. The bank's insurer paid, and then the insurer sued the small web design company.
They found the opening, didn't
exactly.
They found the least exposure.
Exactly, yes. And that's why I say
if you're not covered,
down,
if you're exposed,
right.
You're in danger.
That's right, and they can do yeah. it. You know, big yeah. companies like that have the resources to do that.
All right.
So yes,
Kathy Winger, we'll have you back because there's
I'd
so much more to talk about. Kathy Winger, attorney here in Tucson, who specializes in this really developing period of cybersecurity. I think, Kathy, the word we should use is liquid. It's really changing every day.
Absolutely.
Where can people find out more about you? I know you're very active on Facebook.
I am. I'm active on Facebook. I'm also, my website is katiewinger.com. It's KDWINGER. It's Kathy at KDWINGER. You can check my website. That was my email. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused because I'm talking fast.
That's
Kathy
fine.
At kdwinger.com is my email, but then my website is kdwinger.com.
Thank
so
you.
Any of those places you can find me.
We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. The Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show continues on here on this June 15th. With me in studio, it's always a pleasure to see Diana Cannon. She is the Chief Development Officer for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Diana, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. It's always good to see you and kind of get an update. We've been telling our listeners about how things have been progressing toward raising funds for the new building. So
absolutely.
How is it going?
It's going great. We have reached our over $7.7 million of
Whoa.
Our $10 million. I know. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
This community has just stepped up and been so generous. And last week, we were proud to announce a major gift from Pima Medical Institute, who we've partnered with for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So they've committed $100,000 to our
Whoa,
new campus.
That
isn't that wonderful?
Terrific. 100 grand.
Yes, absolutely. And they're just a wonderful partner for the Humane Society with their faculty and their students. And our new campus is going to continue to be able to provide that education for those students who want to continue a career in animal welfare.
Oh, I mean, and this is a great learning experience for these students to partner with the Humane Society
yes.
of Southern Arizona. They're kids who maybe they're just kind of testing the water,
mm-hmm.
putting a toe in the water to see, is this something that a career in animal welfare that I would like to be involved with? And many go on to really represent, they work in vets' offices and vet hospitals, and they go on to do great things. So it's a great partnership.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, we've hired several of the students, the externs that have come mm-hmm. to our campus. And the great part about it, Bill, is they get to experience the full diversity of what it's like to have to run and work in an animal welfare shelter, in the clinic, what happens in admissions, adoptions. So they get the full exposure of an animal welfare center.
And an animal welfare center like the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, there are so many facets of it, from the greeting the clients when they first come in to the whole process with adoption. And I know your fine professionals try to make it as seamless as possible, but it does, there's a learning curve there.
Yeah,
you've
got
to learn how to do all that.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not as just simple as, oh, the puppies and kittens
right.
are cute. We really need to understand the animals' behaviors and respect the animals of all kinds, whether it be, dogs, cats. We have rabbits. We have guinea pigs. We have rats. So it's a total learning experience. And so many, I have to say, Bill, I just want to give a shout out to the hundreds of volunteers that help us every day in managing the work that we do. The dog walkers are in there early to avoid the heat, but to make sure the animals get their exercise. The foster parents who are out there bottle feeding the hundreds of kittens that we have in our care right now so that they can help them grow and nurture and be ready for their forever home.
Tell us about the new campus for those that don't know. Where is it going to be, and what type of facility, Diana, will this be?
It's going to be at 635 West Roger Road, and that'll be west of Roger and Oracle on the south side of the road. This facility, we're going to go from, right now we're on about a little over 2 acres, and we're going to go to a little over 5 acres. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to a not only a larger facility, but a much more efficient facility. You can imagine how it is for a almost 73-year-old complex.
Yeah, it's kind of grown patchwork.
That's a good way to reference it. It really has.
I mean, a little bit here, a little bit there, and over 73 years, you've got...
Yep. Yeah, we like to say we've morphed, and we truly have. And so for the benefit of not only the animals, but our staff and our volunteers, this campus is going to offer a much healthier, much more efficient, and much more dedicated service.
When do you think you'll be up and operating in the new campus?
Well, right now we're on construction timeline, so we're actually a little bit ahead. Of course, that's going to depend on what the monsoons bring us this
right,
year.
Right, never know.
But the goal right now is that construction will be finished by the end of December, that we will have our certificate of occupancy on or about January 4th, and then we can begin to move. So the move is going to probably take us a good couple of weeks to, you can imagine, transitioning all the animals and staff members. So we hope that by mid to the end of January, we will be securely in our new home.
Of course, people will see the front office, if you will, and that will be brand new entrance and everything else. But then there's the whole clinical practice area where you're going to be able to do the surgeries and all that.
Yes.
That's going to be all state of the art.
Absolutely. So the clinic is going to be we'll still be doing our low cost spay and neuters, our vax clinics, but it's all going to be state of the art. But it's also going to be a healthier environment. Not that it isn't healthy now. I don't mean that, but it's going to be a more efficient environ for the animals.
Sure, I mean,
when
right now
you're
meeting all the health standards, but this
absolutely
is just going to
highest
be
highest level of health standards.
This is going to be a state-of-the-art facility that's going to really benefit not only the people that work there, but these the four-legged friends.
Animal, absolutely.
The animal.
Yes, absolutely. So the whole flow is going to be so much better for them from the beginning until through recovery.
How many animals now do you have at the facility right now?
Well, in our care right now, we have about 570 animals in our care.
Is that about average?
It is. Now, it's going to get a little bit more as, more of the kittens and puppies that are currently being born, and people are, maybe they're unable to, manage them, or they find them.
Summer's tough.
Summer is really tough. And so the population, the animal population grows. And we encourage people to do the right thing and bring them to the animal shelter, whether it be the Humane Society of Southern Arizona or PAC, just to make sure that these animals are properly cared for.
Yeah, I think between what you folks are doing and Pima Animal Care with their new facility, I think we can really, all of us here, here that care so much about animals, and I'm counting myself in that group about mm-hmm. animal welfare, I think we can pat ourselves on the back that we're really trying to be a really caring community for our animals.
We are. And I think very good stewards
of
animal welfare and making sure that these animals are healthy and that they are ready for their new home.
How do we help out?
Well, you can always go to our website, which is www.hssaz.org.
Or just Google Humane Society of
Southern Arizona, and it'll take you, it'll direct you right there.
Yeah, I wanted to mention you've got this Welcome Center Memorial Yard, right? Is that going to be a new component?
That will be the Pima Medical Institute Welcome Center.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So they're going to have some naming there
yes,
at the
they
new
will.
Facility.
Right.
And that, rightfully so. That's a great gift that they're putting up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the memorial wall is still going to be there. It'll be there so that if individuals want to memorialize individuals or pets,
uh-huh.
they can do that.
That's a great idea. All right. Again, if you'd like to help out, because the goal still needs to, there's money to be raised, but thanks to the Pima gift from Pima Medical Institute, really moving toward raising that $10 million for the new facility for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Diana Cannon, always a pleasure. Thanks. You're doing great work over
thank
there.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Shaw. The program is called Mike Check, and Ray Allen helps Mike out. They put together the two of them. Put together a real great hour. And then tomorrow morning, we've got Wake Up Tucson coming up from 6 to 9, then the Buckmaster Show on Friday. We like to always have our Friday Focus interview. We spend a half an hour with a guest, and that tomorrow will be Mr. Ortega, Mike Ortega, the city manager from Tucson. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.